How's your brains? It's all good. I love it when I see things starting to react in people's lives, because it really means that you're receiving truth. It's not that you're manifesting. It's just that truth is coming in, and what sat there as a platform is going out. So I really love it. So don't worry if you twitch and flutter around. It's all good. Hallelujah, Jesus. As you will no doubt understand and get to know over the next couple of days, I love angels. There's massive religious war going on at the moment about the whole angelic realm, and there's people who have made statements like, anybody who starts talking about angels is deceived. These are world and renowned ministries, and I really feel sorry for them, because they're going to miss out on a major part of what God's releasing on the face of the earth today. And I love talking about angels, because I've been hanging around with them for about 18 years. I've been involved in the administration of the courts and stuff in the galaxies and stuff on the earth and stuff in the other places that you don't really even know about, but it's all good stuff. And so I've been studying about angels and studying them and trying to get to grips with the mechanics of how they function, their role. And I come across a little bit some really interesting information. I found out that in 741 AD, there was a trial of a Franciscan monk who used to operate with angels and knew about 300 angels' names. They would be around the guy, he could name them, talk with them, engage them, communicate with them, and it was causing a bit of a stir in the religious system of his day. He was brought to trial by the religious system of the day. The end result of the trial was this statement: any person who speaks to angels, who talks about angels, who mentions angels' names is to be excommunicated from the church. We live under that same spirit of that jurisdiction that was quoted from that judgment. So whenever you find you start talking about angels, actually what happens is most people go, you can't do that. Well, you speak to devils every day. That's about time we started speaking to angels. You know how often you get up in the morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take dominion of our bind you. Well, how about going, g'day guys, it's great to have you around me today. You see, one of the problems that I found in Christendom is the knowledge that we've got has caused us to give a platform for things we don't want because of our behavior and what we've done to focus on. Because whatever you focus on, then it's a platform. We've taught our intercessors to speak and go into the darkness and into the demonic world and to try and deal with it on a continual basis, and therefore all they've ever engaged is darkness. And whatever you engage multiplies around yourself. And so we've caused and created an atmosphere where the demonic world has a platform and multiplies itself every time you start to speak to it. Because you don't start off with the right place. You start off with the demonic world instead of starting off with the kingdom world. And it's time we needed to start off with the kingdom world. I don't teach my people to go to and fro before I teach them to go up and down. And we've got too many intercessors going to and fro because they've been told they can do it without knowledge of going up and down. They go to and fro and get smashed and slaughtered and destroyed and become needless casualties of war because they've not been taught how to go up and down in the realm of the glory of the presence of God. I don't go to and fro before I go up and down. When I go up, I come down, and then I move to and fro with a revelation of what I've got there, and then I can do stuff down here. Hallelujah. And so I really love talking about angels, and I've had quite a number of encounters with them, and I mean, in a room like this, there would probably be, I don't know, 400, 500 billion angels, but you can't see them. But you know, if you think in the terms of context that around the throne of the presence of God, there's 100 million angels. Well, the throne sits in you, so in every person around you has 100 million angels. So there's quite a few angels in here. But because we have a problem with the physics of what we think is a physical world, how can 100 million angels fit here? Well, the spirit world, there's nothing and no reference for the physical world. Right? Our problem is we think in the terms of the physical world, which empowers the demonic world to keep us trapped in the physical world. Because you don't understand that there is a kingdom realm and a realm that God wants to open up that is far different in quantumly than what this is. And even what we've been taught in church is so wrong, because we think that heaven's way out there. Well, according to Hebraic, heaven is as close to you as the air that you breathe, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What had hand means is as close to you as your hand is to your face. That's what it means. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, that's Greek. And the reason they've got 1, 2, and 3 is because the scripture says that Paul knew someone who was caught up into the third heaven, so they teach on the second heaven and first heaven. Well, I don't find first heaven and second heaven taught in the Bible. It's all part of one kingdom. When you look at the Hebrew number for 3, it's Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Gimel is a picture of camel humps, which is number 3. Camel humps means a provision to a Hebrew. And so when Paul was saying, you someone who's caught up in the third heaven, he's talking to Hebrews, not to Gentiles. And so they knew that number 3 is about the provision. So Paul knew someone who was caught up into the full provision of heaven. So we have a religious protocol and system put in place because linear people want to think of 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews don't think linear, they think circular. Greek think 1 + 2 + 3 = 6. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hebrews think 1 + 2 + 3 = 6 = 3 + 2 + 1. That's the tree of life, which is circular. Circular means the beginning must match the end. If there's no ending that matches the beginning, then it's a lie. Right? So as in the days of Noah, so shall our days be. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. So as in that day, so this day is going to be. So God wants to bring us back to as it was before Adam sinned. Have you ever wondered what that means? As it was before Adam sinned. Because that's what our day is going to be like. And it's full of angels, by the way. Lots of angel activity to help you do your job because you're a son. And angels are servants of God. Angels fear and tremble when they look into us. Do you realize that cherubim, when you're going holy with a cherubim, when it looks into you, it's terrified of what it sees in you. Because it sees the person of the glory of God sitting inside of you and it wonders at that glory. It's good stuff. Gives you an appreciation for what really is in you. It's not just about being little Jesuses. It's about carrying the dynamism of a God that holds eternity inside of him, living in you. Therefore, all of eternity is inside of you. And when the angel looks into you and looks into eternity, it sees its end or sees its beginning and its end in you. And so when Satan looks at you, that's why Satan tries to buffalo us to make us see how big he is and how strong he is and how powerful he is. He's like a roaring lion. He's not the lion. We're the lion. And so what he does is he keeps you buffaloed in the corner so you think you're weak, vulnerable, and every TV movie you've ever seen is dragons are bigger, demons are bigger, demons will win, demons are... Well, actually, you need to really understand how big you are. My dad, whose DNA I carry and whose image I take on and what I look like when I'm in the kingdom, the reason people in heaven, they see themselves as they are because they have no reference for what they really look like. So to engage memory, your body and your spirit man uses the only memory you have of what you look like, which is this little image in a mirror of the small, weak, vulnerable, small human being. Well, let me just see this here. Wait a minute. My dad holds the span of the stars in the palm of his hand. That's 350 billion light years across. That's a bit big. And then the 350 billion and the 300 billion galaxies in one galaxy and one spiral arm of a galaxy in the solar system, there's a planet called Earth. And on Earth, there's this little island and the tectonic plate that's called Scotland. And in Scotland, what's the city here? Barnstable in Scotland. In London, UK. Now I'm swearing, aren't I? In England, called Barnstable, there's a city. And in the city, there's you sitting in a church down here. And we seem to be so irrelevance to all of this out there. Well, all of that out there is watching what's going on here because all of that air out there is looking for this to submit to. If we're in God and my God is omnipresent, hallelujah. Okay, I better get back to what I'm doing. I'm going to be here till 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Glory to Jesus. I love I love the way the kingdom is structured. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing? G'day Ian, how you going? 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 I mean, wouldn't it be boring if you all had my name? Wouldn't it be absolutely boring? And the idiotic thing about it is there's only three angels' names mentioned in the Bible, and so the demonic system, the judge, said you can only talk about those three angels with those three angels' names. Hi, Gabriel, Michael, and Satan. Hi, Gabriel, Michael, or Satan. Hi, Gabriel, Michael, or Satan. Hi, Gabriel, Michael, or Satan. I mean, wouldn't that be absolutely boring? See, and the reason that no other names are mentioned in the Bible, because it's not necessary, because it's only in relationship that you form a name. Right, so it's only when you, I don't know half of you people here because I don't know your names. Right, so if I want to know your name, I go, hi, how you going? What's your name? Emma, good to meet you, Emma. How are you today? Well, this is how you sculpt relationship. Angels want relationship because they function for the heirs of salvation. So it isn't just, hey, you. You know? It's a, you over there, and you've got half a billion faces looking at you. Which one are you talking to? I mean, can you imagine standing in a stadium and going, hey, you, and everybody's looking at you. Who are you talking to? Well, that's what happens in the angelic realm. Because we haven't formed relationship and connection to have names with the things that we function with. Our big problem is then, actually, we don't know who we're talking to, and neither do they. So you go, hey, you, and everybody looks at you and carries on doing what they're doing because you're not calling someone by name. So name is important. A name is very, very, very important because a name carries a function, dictates the role, and displays the realm. It releases the mandate, the function, and the authority to operate. So angels' names are very important. Now, they don't all have nice names like Ian or John or Mike or Motorbike. I mean, they don't have... Some of them do have different names, like Methuselah and Ezra and Zephkiel and Zedkiel and Tyriel. And I mean, they all have names because each name dictates the function, the nature, the character, displays the role and mandate that God's authorized them to have on the face of the earth to display the glory and empower you to do what you're supposed to do. Do you realize that I was in the middle of Africa. We're doing this conference in Namibia, and we went after this thing that was sitting outside in the sea there in this great big gate, and whatever, we're doing some stuff, and it was one of the first times that I'd really seen angelic movement when I stepped as a son to go and do what I'm called to do, which is to displace the devil, because when I move and he moves out, and so we were involved in this thing, and I was in the spirit, and I took a step forward to go out to sea to go and deal with this thing, and when I took a step, I heard this beside me, and looked from either side of me, and there were hundreds of thousands of angels all looking at me. And I'm looking at them going, and they all did the same thing with me. And I asked a question of one that stood next to me, and I said, what are you doing? They said, well, we're here because you're here. When you go, they're here because you're here. But every time I moved, then they would move. They were actually called hunter angels, and they're angels that destroy Apollyon, which stops souls of men coming into salvation. And so we went after this thing of Apollyon, and it was amazing because I could take a step forward, and all these things came with me, and I went, go! And they went, because they've now finally been mandated to do what they're supposed to do, which is to make a way for the sons of God to turn up. Bible says he sends his angels before us to scatter the enemy. God sends a million angels. 1,000 times 1,000, that's a million angels. God sends a million angels before you to scatter the enemy to make a way for you to turn up as a king. And we're busy going, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Just send them, let them do their job and move in. A different style of warfare. Hallelujah, Jesus. God has mandated you and I to live in a capsule of his presence. And a capsule means something that sits on the outside of you. And so to understand what capsule God wants us to sit in, got to understand what's around Him. So when we understand what's around Him, we can understand what's around us, because Him's in us. Remember, I'm in you and you're in me. You know, He who eats me is in the Father, and I'm in the Father, and I'm in you. And then when you, God's in you, then what's around Him is around you. That's good doctrine. We're all in agreement with that. Half of you, praise God, Pastor, is that all good? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I'll go on you because you're apostolic leader here. Glory to Jesus. Now, let's just talk about this thing for a minute, because what I want to talk about is the canopy of the angelic that sits around the throne of God. Because you are a carrier of His throne here on the face of the earth. The throne is about the government of God. You have the government of God seated inside of you. You have His realm and His presence seated inside of you. And so what's around Him there is around you here, because you and Him there and He's in you here. Right? And so I want to talk about this capsule on the outside here. Now, I haven't taught on the Bench of Three. If we get a chance tomorrow, we'll do that. The Bench of Three is a Beit Din, or the government of the House of Judges, and that's the protocol, the way the Hebrews set up their whole judicial system and their structure of their synagogues. And we've done some teachings on that. If we don't teach it here, get it, because you'll need to understand it. What God is looking for all of heaven to attest to, is the image of His presence on the face of the earth. And so if I was to get in a beam of light somewhere and have my shadow standing out here and get my brother or my sister to come stand next to me, my shadow would not look like their shadow. So if I was to stand aside and look at that shadow, I could not call that my shadow. Therefore, I could not say that's a part of me. And so God is looking for a shadow. Could somebody open the door over there? Because I'm really hot. Are you guys hot in here? No, I'm boiling. I know it's the Holy Ghost, but I need some air. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is looking for a shadow. And there's 10 layers, which is known as the house of government, which is also part of the judicial system of Israel, which is also a reflection of the way the throne operates with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the seven spirits of God. So you have a bench of three that sit with the administrative part of the government of the house of the church of God that is supposed to administrate on earth as it is in heaven. And so whatever. And so we'll go into that tomorrow if we get a chance. And so everything that is in the realm of heaven and everything that is on the side of the face of the earth must carry a reflection of as it is in heaven, so that God can look at it and acknowledge it and fill it and look at it and possess it and become part of its function and role. If it does not look like Him, then He will not participate with it. And so I want to describe what's around the presence of the glory of God. So around the outside of this, you have these 10 layers, which is 7 plus 3. Now, the highest isn't the greatest. It's the lowest that's the highest that's the greatest, because the lowest serves everything because it's the greatest. All right, so we have a church system at the moment to become the pastors the greatest, because you're in charge of everything. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Because when you come in charge of something, you're the greatest. Well, actually, what you should be is become the least. Going into the kingdom realm isn't becoming greater, it's becoming lesser to become more. It's about going deeper to be able to go higher, to be able to go wider, to serve more. And so the less you become, the greater you become. So the least is always the greatest. And so there's these 10 layers. So the top one is not the greatest. The top one is the least in the angelic covenant in court. Now, in Ezekiel and in Revelations, it says there were 10,000 times 10,000 angels that sang around the throne of the glory of God. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. That's a lot of angels. There's 10 layers of angels that are around His throne. 10 into 100 million means 10 million per layer. Anybody ever seen a million people in one place at a time? It's like getting twice the population of Scotland in one place at a time. That's a lot of people. Well, you wouldn't want to do that, because that'd rule England. No, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of angels. There's 10 layers. The first layer has 10 million. Every layer has 10 million. It's an amphitheater. You think, you know, you how many into rugby? You know, you see that stadium? Well, you can build a stadium to hold 10 million. The stadium holds how much? 100,000, if you're lucky? 10 million. That's 10,000 times what you see in a stadium. 10,000 times that. Can you imagine how big that'll be? Like, it's rather large. And so each layer has a rather large accompaniment with it. Each layer has a sentient governing angel that mandates and authorizes the function of those angels in that court. Each one of these layers is a court. And so the top layer is known as the chaos. Now, let me just say something here too. You'll find in occult books, they talk about similar stuff. That's because the realm of the demonic is only taken on the image of as it is in heaven. Because they can't make anything of their own. All they do is participate with what's already there and fill the structure with darkness. And it's amazing. In the demonic world, do you know they have the same names? Do you know that? You know why? Because they see the truth and they want the truth. And so they're beguiled by lying about who they really are to give you a nice name. You know, you have witches that have the same name as you. Does that make you a witch? But we have the same judgment because that's the demonic stuff that sits in us that wants to trigger us to keep us away from the truth. The first layer is known as the chaos, C-H-A-Y-O-S. These are known as the holy living creatures. They're creatures. They're not angels. They're creatures. I've engaged and encountered 21 different kinds of creatures. Things like whirlwinds, fiery horses, fiery chariots, stuff like that. Those things are living and they're real. They're called creatures. They have the least function, but the most exciting function. Because if anybody ever been riding a fiery chariot, it's really great. It's better than a roller coaster. Hallelujah, Jesus. Travel from here to the outside of your galaxy in about 4.5 seconds. Because it's called poo pant material. Don't laugh, I'm serious. Can remember my first engagement with a fiery chariot. I was saying, God, I want to know what it's going to be like in the day when there's no demonic oppression, when there's no violence and no demonic stuff sitting in the atmosphere. I want to know what it's going to be like to be outside that so I can dream about living in that atmosphere on the face of the earth. We're going to be careful what you ask for. You know, when I was a kid, I used to really love getting on boats, you know, these yachts and stuff. I used to love sitting on the front bow of the yacht. I get right on the front point of the yacht, so when it went through the wave, I went through the wave first. I used to love it. It was just like the most amazing thing. And so, you know, it's amazing how as a child desire, God will give you those desires sometimes when you still hold on to them. I really wasn't expecting it because I'm now an adult and I've forgotten about that. Except God doesn't forget about that because your dreams are still held inside your heart of the things you loved when you were a child. And so I found myself praying and then I heard this. And I kind of look up at my roof and my room disappears and there's this thing coming out. Whack! Hits me and I go. And I see my house, my city, my nation, the earth, our solar system, our galaxy. Now, excuse me, I'm outside of our galaxy now, like a few 100,000 light years out. And it stopped. And I was in this most amazing, out of this junky, demonic stuff. And I was sitting there going, whoa. Wow, no more voices, no more devils, wow. And then I started going back. But this time, instead of being in it, I was stuck on the very front of it. Now I'm going, ah, because now I see a galaxy, a spiral arm of a galaxy, a solar system, and there's the Earth. Now I'm coming into my house. And I'm, I find myself in my room. Whoa, I peed my pants, but you know, that's okay. That's what washing machines are for. Angels are amazing. They've got a real sense of humor. They really have. They're not all serious. Some of them you don't mess with, but the creatures are all good. They have a function and a role, and they're happy to play their role with you. And so they, you know, you can engage them, and they all have a name, and it's all good. Hallelujah. Their sentient administering angel's name is Metatron. Metatron lives in the mountain of gold that's in Eden, where the glory of where God comes off of his throne to walk in Eden. Eden is different than the garden. Get the CD, MP3. And so what we have here is Metatron lives inside that mountain of gold. When God comes out of his glory, he sheds his glory. His glory is full of gold, and the mountain has been built from the glory of God, which is full of gold. And the Metatron lives in that. Metatron is a key keeper of every gate. He's the thing that keeps the times and the seasons in place. That's where you get that Metatron from. That keeps, for if you're a drummer, you get that, you know how to get the beat going. Well, that's his name comes from that. Well, that thing comes from his name. The next one down is known as the Ophanim. So there's a second layer now. 10 million. 10 million. They're known as Ophanim. Ophanim are the wheels. Now, when you are a long way from a wheel, like if you look at the moon from the earth, you just see the outside of it. You know that's the moon. And because you're told that it's round, you know that it's round. But you can't see that it's round. So when Ezekiel saw these wheels that were terrible in height, that were circular with eyes all the way round about, he was seeing the circumference of something because it was quite a long way from him. And so when you see an Ophanim, it looks like a flat disc, but actually it's like a ball. And so underneath the throne of God, you've got four of these balls that move the throne of God. So remember the throne, you've got the cherubim, two of them. Holy, holy, holy. Then underneath this, you've got four of these balls that move the throne of God. And those balls are the ultimate power source. If you can make that ball, you'll know how to make an ultimate power source that you'll never run out of energy for. But anyway, and so the next thing you have around the throne of God is you have these things called a seraphim. And seraphim have six wings on them with four faces that move every which way. And inside of the seraphim, you've got these lightnings going up and down. That's just around the throne of God. And so on the outside of the things, you have these things called the Ophanim, big wheels. It's like having a galaxy moving around you. Eyes all the way around about them, knowing everything, looking at everything. There's a place in this really amazing. We're at our dinner table at home, and our children at home, was in a very interesting time because we always talked about kingdom stuff. We were always into spirit stuff. My children grew up with it. By the time they were through, they were all seeing, all going. By the time they were 7, 8, all been in heaven, walked in Eden, blah, blah, blah. And so our dining room table time was a very interesting time. And so we would often talk about angels, because that was the topic of the day. So we'd talk about them. And one day my daughter was, we were talking about these angels with eyes all the way around about. And there's a place in the realm of the kingdom that goes between two layers of the kingdom where there's four portals. And sometimes you go past those portals and these angels that are big, they go through these things. And sometimes their skin or their feathers come off. But you've got to remember, in heaven, nothing ever dies. It always stays alive because it's full of life and nothing ever decays. And so these eyes all over the pillar. Now, I got to say, I didn't really know any of this. And so I'm kind of walking around the realm of the kingdom and doing my stuff. And I see this portal. So I move through the portal. And when I went to move through it, his eyes all went and followed me through. And I went, freak me out. And so I went back, and there was all these feathers that had come off these big wheels that had eyes all stuck around. And this whole pillar was a pillar of eyeballs looking at me. I mean, just amazing. I find that stuff interesting anyway. And so Their sentient administrator's name is Raziel, R-A-Z-I-E-L. The next layer down is the Irulim. The Irulim are known as the mighty ones. These things are the angels that get stuff done. There is in the Hebrew law, which is L-O-R-E, which is the oral tradition of the Hebrew culture, there's one of these angels that is known to be 500 walking years tall. 500 walking years tall. It's from here to the moon. 10 million of them. Who's going to mess with that? You don't mess around with these ones. You don't mess around with the Irulim. They're not little tiddly-winky angels. You go, hi, hi. Well, it's just this high, wet pants, whatever you need to do. You just need to engage them. But however, there's 10 million of them that sit around the throne of God. And if they're around the throne of God, where's the throne of God? In you? Welcome to Canopy City. Irulim, their sentient administering angel's name is Zaphkiel, T-Z-A-P-H-K-R-E-L. The next layer down is a Cashmelium. My goodness, Cashmelium. They're known as the brilliant ones or the shining ones. That's where you get chameleon from. They're full of color. These angels, anybody ever seen those lights in the North Pole or the South Pole? What do they call those things? Those solar lights that kind of, well, they're all, that's actually angels, by the way. And so the Cashmelium look like the aurora lights. They're as big as the aurora lights. And so what you have is a part of their covering is being displayed on the earth. We go, wow, look at the reflection and refraction. Well, actually, it's all about color. And the Cashmelium, all about color. And so oftentimes when people will first start to see some of the stuff in angelic, it's like you got all these colors. People saying, well, I've seen this blue color and this white color. And it was just weird because it was just color. Well, welcome to Angel City. So just go, hi, guys. Great to see you. And they might go, hello. I mean, I don't know what they'll do with you, but that's your business. And by the way, they do have a sense of humor. You know, it's amazing. I find that we as a human race, we think we're so crash hot. You know, we think we know everything and it's like, wow, we're so good. We see in seven colors, you know, seven colors of the rainbow and everything that's around us that reflects every color is actually dead material anyway. And so, but we think we're so good because we see in the colors that are dead. And so if we were to take those seven colors of the rainbow and put them on seven keys of a piano, which would be probably about that wide. Seven keys of a piano. Sitting like that, I'm probably about that wide. Seven keys of a piano. Take those seven colors, put in here. If we were to add in every other spectrum of color, like radio wave, microwave, ultraviolet wave, theoretic, all the different wavelengths of color that are known to man, we were to put them on the same scale, that keyboard would reach from here to the moon. Now, let me just say this. When you're in the kingdom realm, all of that comes open to you. So you don't see the dead. When you look at someone and you're in the kingdom realm, you see everything. What's going on? What's happening around them? What's reflecting through them? What's coming over them? What's moving through their life? What's happening over them, in them, around them, to them, from them? That whole realm opens up. This is our kingdom. And we go, wow, I'm so good because I can see with my eyeballs in seven colors. Welcome to kingdom realm where you can see everything. That's why heaven's so different than what it is on the face of the earth. Because everything in heaven's alive and absorbs color, doesn't reflect it. Hallelujah, Jesus. The next layer down is, their sentient administrator's name is Zadkiel. T-Z-A-D-K-I-E-L, Zadkiel. The next layer is a seraphim. Their sentient administrator's name is Gabriel, G-A-B-R-I-E-L. The seraphim are these things you don't mess with. You know, I talk about those six wings, those big faces. I don't know, how many ever ask God questions? Well, you need to if you don't. Actually, you need to get in practice asking questions because God's culture, the Hebrew culture, and Hebrew culture is all about asking questions. And when you ask the right questions, you get the right answer. So you got to learn how to ask questions. But sometimes you've got to be careful with the questions you ask. And I was asking a question of the Holy Spirit one day. I said, Lord, you know, in the Bible, in the Word, it says that there's these seraphim. You know, they have four faces. And when they speak, their faces move every which way. But how can they move every which way when they're one creature? I mean, how does that work? I mean, does a creature move this way? Can you imagine dividing these things up? I mean, do they stretch? I mean, how does it work? Because no one tells you, because no one really wants to understand. And so, except me, but some of you might do too. So I kind of went, Lord, I want to know this, you know. And sometimes it takes a while just to see if you really are interested or whether you're just asking because you want information. See, God really wants to know that you're interested in His kingdom and not just in information that'll make you spiritual. A lot of people function out of information that makes them spiritual. They seem to be spiritual, so they actually have problems because they don't know how to appropriate what they see. So it's just information to make them seem good anyway. And so I was sitting in my room going, Father, thank you that your word says this. Lord, I need to understand. Lord, let the spirit of revelation or the knowledge of Christ come over my life. Lord, the spirit of understanding open my eyes to see. And I was busy praying and I hear this. And I find myself up out of my room, except I've been brought up underneath one of these things. Now, it's really hard sitting underneath a skyscraper. You know, it's called wet pants. That's what washing machines are for. I keep on saying this to people. So you need to understand, sometimes when it happens, wet pants, and that's all good. That's why God created washing machines. It's easy to wash your clothes with. And so I found myself underneath this thing that was as big as a blasted skyscraper. Now, I mean, and they're sitting there going, and it, like, you've got to remember, everything in heaven moves with frequency and vibration, sound and color and fragrance, and all mathematical equations everywhere. And so this thing was going, and I'm going, because my brain, I'm making noises because I've spoken 18,000 words, so I'm going to make some noises, so I'm going to speak another 18,000. And so the stuff was going on around my life, around my body, and I was looking up into the middle of this creature with this lightning going up and down, whoa, and all this noise going on. And then it was amazing how the longer you stay there, the more in harmony you come with the frequency of what's going on. And so instead of going, oh, it was like, wow, yeah, this is my God's realm here. And so what happened was, the Lord took me up in the middle of this thing, and I watched it speak. And the most amazing thing happened, because when it spoke, the sound of its voice moved. And because its voice is creative and has power in it, the creative power of its nature moved in its voice and spread out like that in front of it. So suddenly I knew how they moved every which way by the creative power of their voice spoken, which is them and their identity moving and who they are, the spoken thing that they decree. I mean, I had a wonderful experience out of it. Wet my pants, but it was a wonderful experience, and I learned a bit of stuff. Seraphim, again, aren't made to be messed around with, but in the middle of worship, if there's demonic stuff going on and you begin to engage the seraphim and the court of the seraphim around in the realm of worship, if there's demonic stuff going on, flat. It's called wipe out. They will deal with demonic stuff. And if you want other stuff dealt with, then you call on those ones that get stuff done, you know, the Erelim. You call on them. Father, release the court of the Erelim around us to get stuff done. Hallelujah. The next one down is the Malachim, which is the kings. And I know we nearly finished. I'll just take another 10 minutes and we'll finish. The next lay down is the Malachim. They're known as the kings. Their sentient administrator's name is Uriel. U-R-I-E-L. Uriel. They're the things that administrate the judgments of God and our judgments when we stand on the word of God and judge the house and judge his courts. By the way, you're called to be judges. That's why it's a Beit Din or a Yasod, which is a house of judges, and God is a house of judge. And if he's a judge, then we can learn how to be a judge. The church is saying don't judge when you should be judging the right way and whatever. And so the next layer down is the Erelim. The next layer down is the Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim. The Elohim are known as the look-alike man ones. These angels look like man. They don't have wings. They have the nature of the appearance of a man. They're a little bit bad. They all stand about 6 foot to 6 foot five. They have the nature of a person and sometimes are mistaken for people. That's why in the New Testament, the Bible says, thank you for some of those who have entertained strangers unawares, and some of you have entertained angels unaware because they look like man. Then you have Peter knocking on the door, knock, 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 knock. And this lady runs out and says, oh, Peter's angel's here. It's because they've got to understand it. They knew about the angelic stuff. That's why she said what she said. Because there's no teaching on it. It's not in our culture. We don't talk about it. We don't know anything about it. The Hebrew people encountered angels all the time. Their administrator, sentient administrator's name is Haniel, H-A-N-I-E-L. Now we come to the bench of three, or the governing level of the angelic court that's around the throne. The next layer down is known as the Benai Elohim, which are the sons of God. This is the realm of the sons of God that was made in the first creation is these guys. These guys have a role to play in heaven, and they're known as the sons of God. These guys occupy your thrones in the realm of heaven until you come to a point of maturity so you can take your position as a king or as a lord in the thrones. They hold your portfolio. When you come to the point of maturity to be able to take your position in heaven out of the role of responsibility from maturity, they will handle and hand your portfolio back over to you. So in your church here, you've had a portfolio handed back over to you because you've got a mountain. There's four more you need to get, and they've got portfolios on them. You need to deal with them, but that's all good. God will give you the portfolios when you sit on them. Their sentient administrator's name is Michael, M-I-C-H-E-A-L, Michael. The next layer down is the cherubim, which we've already talked to. They're known as the covering ones. And so when you want to be hidden in the presence of the glory of God, Father, engage the cherubim of the presence of God to hide me and bring me into the realm of the glory of the presence of God so I might be able to stand before you and administrate, hide me in your presence, Jesus. Got to engage them and they'll facilitate what's needed. Their sentient administrator's name is Raphael, R-A-P-H-A-E-L, Raphael. The last layer, which is the highest layer of the angelic court, is known as the Ishim, I-S-H-I-M. These things are the closest things to prince warring angels of nations that I have ever seen. They engage the supernatural kingdom for you and on your behalf. You know when you had that angel that wrestled with a prince of Persia, and then Michael, I think it was, came to deliver the word of God? Well, there was two angelic activities there. One was Michael, one was an angel that went before him to wrestle with that thing. Well, you find these angels here, the Ishim, are those prince-warring angels. When I was here 2 years ago, I had a two-hour encounter with one of these Ishim, which is the prince-warring angel of your nation, that took me into the angelic realm and began to speak to me over a two-hour period about the whole angelic court, how it functions, the angelic realm all the way down here. And the last thing this angel said to me is, Ian, our problem is we're totally bored because you are so busy speaking to devils, you won't even speak to us. Hallelujah. Their sentient administrator's name is Sandalphon, S-A-D-E-L-A-P-H-O-N, Sandalphon. If this canopy sits over the throne of God, then that canopy sits over you. It's about time you started to actively engage it to facilitate what God needs to have done through you, around you, over you, underneath you. There was a St. Patrick in your nation in Ireland. I think he's from Ireland, isn't he? St. Patrick, there's prayer of St. Patrick. It's an amazing prayer. If you ever get a chance to get on the Google and Google St. Patrick's prayer and listen to it, it'll blow your brains out of the water. That guy changed the atmosphere of a whole nation by one prayer. And he went through that thing. God behind me, God beside me, God above me, God underneath me, God in front of me, God, and God when I lay down, God when I sleep, God when I wake, God, like, it's time to engage this angelic court in the same protocol. Father, I thank you that there is a 10 layers of angelic court that sits around your throne, that sits around me. 100 million angels sit around me, Father, with 10 million per layer. Father, I engage the chaos. I engage the Ishim. I engage each layer them every day and facilitate what God needs to have around your life, and God will move and release his kingdom. Amen. Stand on our feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, you'll notice I don't go around praying for everyone because that's not necessarily my job. If you want ministry, then there's a massive ministry team here that can help you if you want prayer. What I do is, in administering what I teach, if you sit and engage, you'll come under impartation from that, because the fire that burns on me will rest on you and you will receive revelation out of the rabbi mantle that sits over my life. And that's why I pray at the end of every session, so you can engage. So I'd like you to close your eyes, please. Father, I want to thank you today that you have given us a court of angelic canopy, a beehive that sits over our lives, that you have released revelation of, Father, onto the face of the earth. Father, today I want to ask your forgiveness for never acknowledging that canopy, never engaging the protocol that's needed for me to come to the place of maturity, to engage them. Father, to facilitate what is needed on the face of the earth, to move the presence and the glory of God, to make a way for the glory of God to move and to have a place to abide and sit in, to have a shadow on the earth that looks like as it is in heaven. Father, today I want to say that I am forming a shadow. I make a choice to enter the realm of your presence, Father, to form a shadow, and I acknowledge the canopy of the angelic realm, Father, from the chaos down through, right all the way through to the Ishim. Father, I acknowledge the 10 layers of the angelic court of God that sits in the realm of heavens around me. Father, you sit in me, and I want to acknowledge the chaos, the Ophanim, the Irulim, the Kashmirim, the Seraphim, the Malachim, the Elohim, the Benai Elohim, the Cherubim and the Ishim. Father, I acknowledge their court around me today. Father, I ask that you would empower me to understand what is needful in my function and role as a son. Lord, I know that when this angelic court looks into me, they see your glory and they see the omnipresence, the omniscience, and omnipotence of my Father sitting in me. And Father, I want to thank you that you've delivered this into our hands. You've given us a kingdom. And Father, today I engage purposely with desire. I align into your purpose, Father, that this canopy would begin to materialize in forms around my life, Father. That the activity of the angels of the Lord would be released to minister for me and on my behalf. Yeshua HaMashiach, Anaki Elohim, Yahavah Shalom. Father, let your presence build and move around us tonight as we go to sleep. Father, let the angelic realm engage us in our sleep watch, Father. Lord, that we know the height and breadth and depth of our calling in the Son of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, have a wonderful